The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from Deuteronomy chapter 26. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket. And you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And then you shall set it down before the Lord your God, and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite, and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 10. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when those days were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Luke 4, 1 to 13, the gospel lesson that was just read. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, One of my friends in the U.S. Armed Forces chaplaincy is the Reverend Mark Schreiber, formerly the director of the Armed Forces Ministry of our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. One of Chaplain Schreiber's best stories about his deployed service in the Navy was at the beginning of his service as the Lutheran chaplain to the USS Theodore Roosevelt. This is a Nimitz-class aircraft carrier with two nuclear reactors that power it, 3,200-member ship crew, 2,480-member air crew, and a displacement of 105,000 long tons. I believe it is one of the biggest ships in the U.S. Navy at the present time. Chaplain Schreiber was the first Lutheran chaplain assigned to the USS Roosevelt. So he was aboard the ship during its sea trials in 1987. Sea trials are performed by all shipbuilders prior to a maiden voyage. Part of the Navy sea trials is what is known as a shock test, and some test it is. The Navy detonates a huge bomb underwater near the new ship to see if it can survive a near miss by enemy cannon. In this case, all the crew, airplanes, and equipment were aboard, including Chaplain Schreiber, when the bomb was detonated. It lifted the entire aircraft carrier 5 feet out of the water, and the ship and the crew survived. You can see a photo of the 1987 shock test at Wikipedia on the webpage titled USS Theodore Roosevelt. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus endures a shock test of three temptations before his maiden voyage into Galilee and the beginning of his ministry. And some tests these were. They were designed by Satan to defeat Jesus by attacking him at the weakest points of human nature. If Jesus had failed these tests, he would not have accomplished his unique work of salvation. We would then all be destined to join Satan for all of eternity in hell. So for both Jesus and Satan, these three temptations were mission critical. The first temptation of Jesus, as you heard, was Satan's taunt, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus replied, "Man shall not live by bread alone." There were two parts to this temptation, so you might call it a double whammy. First, it was a challenge to Jesus to prove his divinity. Jesus knew that he was the divine Son of God, therefore he was God himself, but he sure didn't look like or feel like God right then. Second, Jesus was really, really hungry after 40 days of eating nothing. And there was nothing wrong with simply eating, since his fast was self-imposed. He could have eaten anything at that point. The temptation was that the overwhelming desire to eat was pressuring Jesus to prove his divinity according to Satan's rules. And that would have been contrary to Jesus' ministry, the purpose of which was to use his divine powers for others, not for himself. In the second temptation of Jesus, Satan took him up to a high mountain and showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, all the world, throughout the world at that time and throughout history. Satan then said, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me." And that tells you something about worldly glory. "And I give it to whomever I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus replied, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Now, this temptation was more straightforward. Power, fame, and glory could have belonged to Jesus right then and there. He didn't have to go through any more poverty, rejection, or suffering, and he knew it was coming down the pike. He would not have had to endure his passion and death on the cross. All he had to do was very simple. Just get on his knees before Satan and give Satan the honor that belongs to God only. And only do it once, right? That's not a big deal, is it? Only once. In the third temptation of Jesus, Satan took him up to the pinnacle of the Jerusalem temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here." Jesus replied, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Now, this temptation was the most complex of all. On the one hand, it was another challenge to Jesus to prove his divinity. On the other hand, it was a challenge to the Father to save his Son from death. Now, if Jesus had jumped and been saved, everybody at the temple would have seen that he was a human being with divine or angelic powers. His entire plans for ministry, for preaching the word, for appointing the 12, for taking care of people in Galilee and all the places that he went, it would have gone up in smoke. He would have been an instant celebrity. What is the meaning of this gospel story for you today? First, it shows you how Satan was bound and determined throughout Jesus' ministry to stop him in any way possible. It proves that Satan is your ultimate enemy because he wants to prevent your eternal salvation. He wants to keep you in his kingdom. Second, it shows that Jesus was able to resist all temptation in the worst temptations, in the most difficult situations. By passing these three shock tests, Jesus proved to himself and his Father that he would be able to survive the ultimate tests of his passion and death. Third, each one of these temptations tell you something about the type of temptations that you might be faced with at various times in life. Now, these are temptations that may be unique to Christians, since the scriptures say that we Christians share in Jesus' sufferings, and that includes his temptations. And these temptations come from our flesh, the world, and the devil. The first temptation you face is from the flesh. It has to do with privation and poverty, or at least the fear of poverty. There's almost nothing worse than being poor, besides physical pain. And some folks would prefer having pain to being poor. The fear of poverty causes people to steal, to cheat, gamble, and commit all sorts of crime. The temptation for most people in the world has not been that they want to be rich, but rather they fear being poor. Jesus addresses this temptation in Matthew 6, where he says, quote, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Matthew 6, 25 to 33. The second temptation that you face is from the world. It has to do with the desire for fame, glory, power, celebrity, all of that. You know, it seems like everybody can be a celebrity these days, you know, with the internet and social media and Instagram and all that. But that's a false promise, since only a very, very few make it to the top. For the rest of us, there might be local fame, glory, or power. Maybe at school, the office, the local community, or even in your local church. And the desire for these things can lead you into all sorts of sin. The third temptation you face is from the devil. It has to do with trying to put God to the test. Instead of fearing, loving, and trusting in God above all things, and trusting Him because of His gracious acts in history, His holy word, and sacraments, some Christians want miracles here and now, in front of them, or some manifestation of the Spirit in the here and now. They want some miracle in their own life, or some inner sensation to prove that God really exists. And if it happens, they say, then they will really believe in God. But against this temptation, Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. The word of Jesus and the apostles and the sacraments are all that you need to know that God loves you and promises you forgiveness and eternal salvation. Anything more than that is putting God to the test. May you resist all temptations that you face in life. When you fail the test and you sin, and let me tell you, you will, may you look to Jesus for his perfect obedience, which is given to you through the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, amen.